Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter. And coming to us live from Amsterdam is a very special guest, Dr. Charles Nenner of the Charles Nenner Research Center. And Charles is the leading expert on market cycles. Charles, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You know, we've followed you actually over the years, probably going back almost 10 years, but this is the first time we have you live on an interview. So, you know, you have made some legendary or even infamous market calls over the years. Where are we now in the U.S. stock market cycle?
Well, there's a lot to say about it. There's just some very simple things that I used to write about. I said, so people just do their homework. And let's take the year that ends with a 7. So we got out at the market in January. The indices were holding up for a while, but a lot of stocks were down 10, 20%. But the interesting thing is there was 2017, which we projected at the end of 2017 as a high. Now, if you go back 10 years, the year before that was 2007. Well, that was an interesting high. Then the year 7 was 97, 98. There was the Asia crisis. That was interesting down. Then we got 87. There we don't have to say much about it. Everybody knows about the crash. And you go on and on and on. So this has nothing to do with the neural works that I developed that can tell you on a daily basis and a monthly basis, weekly basis for every stock and commodity if it's going up or down. But this is very simple that every time a year ends with a 7, it's the end of the bull market. And it's a serious end of the bull market. Now, it seems that people don't know that. At least they always look very surprised. And usually you get, even among professionals, well, let's see next time. I says next time or next time, that's 20 years away. And I always say, why don't we go with what works for 100% until it doesn't work anymore? It's very hard for people to get a grip on it because what it says is that everything is determined. There's no free choice. And whatever happens in the market doesn't make a difference. I can give you one example. If you would go to my website and you look at the first time I was on CNBC in 2006, the Dow Jones was around 10,000. And then what is the name? Quebec says, what do you expect? I says, well, three interesting things. The housing market is going to collapse. The interest rates that are 6.5% will go to zero. You can see the television show on my website. And the market will go to 14,500 and then crash. And it will be there the December 27th of 2007. So then we had 1.5 years of who knows what economics is going to do for us. And I came back on December 27th, and where was it? 10,300, 200 points below, exactly on the day. I said, now the whole thing is going to crash. Then I came back in February to New York Stock Exchange 2009 and said, now everybody buy, 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 buy. It is very simple, but if you're emotionally involved in that, everybody has a free choice and anything can happen, then you don't find a pattern. So that's what we did. I was trained as a medical doctor. And if somebody says, you know, the red pill will save somebody's life, I'm not going to say, well, I have to understand. But if that's the red pill, it's the red pill. So for me, it's very simple to look at cycles. And we also have price projections, which means is that something goes up with a certain momentum. And it doesn't stop in midair. We know exactly how high it's going. So if IBM goes up for 3 months, then it projects exactly in 1 or 2 years how high it's going before the whole thing collapses again. So it's totally a mathematical situation. You just have to look into it, and it might hurt your ego because then what is your input? But you don't have to read newspapers. You're not involved in what President Trump does. He does not cover whatever happens in the world. So it makes things very simple.
Now, Charles, we're going to get into some of your methodology, your cycles methodology. But what? So you've been bearish on the U.S. market since 2017 because of this.
In January, we sold totally out. We did a bounce for about 200-300 S&P points, and then we went out around 2840, just before this thing, and we went short, and we covered at end of the market yesterday.
Now, you made a very provocative call a few years back about the Dow hitting, I believe it was 5,000 by was 2020. Are you still holding?
Between 2021, 22. What happened was the New York Times called me and it says the Presto was great doing the Elliott Wave. He says the Dow goes to 1,000. Mr. Nenner, what do you think? I says I never looked at it, but can look at it. And I came down to 5,000. Which means is before everybody gets very worried, you know, in 1990, I think the Dow was around 7,000 and the world was still functioning. So it's not going to be the end of the world. It's just a problem. Now I talk a bit fundamentals. It's a problem that the inflation doesn't pick up. I don't think it's going to pick up. I still think we're going to have a deflationary problem because once the economy turns down, and it seems every time that there's an expansion, then people think this time is different. Well, it's not going to be different. Soon the economy is still going to turn down. Copper prices are down. Crude doesn't function, et cetera, et cetera. And according to me, there's no inflation. And if we have a deflation, we can have a big problem. We can also have a war. That's the thing with cycles. You don't know where it comes from, but something is going to trigger it.
Right. Now, when you made the original call for the Dow 5000, so it was more of a percentage decline. So now, was the cycle based on an actual number, or is it a percentage decline?
No, it's not a percentage decline. It's like if you have a tennis ball and you will throw it in the air and then it goes down and it comes back and it goes low and comes back. And then from the last low, you can, like, how did I come up with 14,500? I took the last high of the year 2000 and I projected the high. And then I came for the high of 2007, 14,500. So how did I come to 5,000? I took the low 2007, 8. Actually, it's 9, I think, and it projected down to 5,000. So always using the same system.
So essentially, you're still on looking for the Dow to hit 5,000 by 2021, 2022, you're saying at this point.
Yeah, I think something is going to happen, and you know, anything can happen. We don't know.
Right. You know, it's interesting. You, a couple of years ago, I recall seeing on an interview, and you were talking about the war cycle, and I think this was in 14 or 13. What year was it? It was one of those years. And you were talking about like the war cycle, and you know, going back to World War One. I think usually major wars start in the 12th or the 13th year of each century. And
it's in the middle of the second decade of a new century.
Middle of the second decade. Okay. And I think at that point, people kind of were thinking major wars. They were thinking maybe it would be China, Russia. But it actually, you know, the major war was really kind of in the Middle East with ISIS. I mean, that was really out of control at that point.
Well, I still don't consider it a major war. So the major war is something that you know, there are a lot of war cycles. My research goes back to 3,000 years since the Mandarin Empire of China. But just for people who say, well, how can it be? I just went back and I said, listen, we're having some wars now, as I thought, that started in the middle of the second decade of this year, of this century. Let's say 2015, 16, 17, and going on. 100 years ago was the First World War, which ended in the Second World War. 100 years before the 1814, 15 was Napoleon. 100 years before that was the Habsburg in Austria, the big wars. And if you Google and you say major war around the year 1000, major war around 1100, 1200, 1300, you see it's always in the second decade of a new century. Now, you can take it as a given and use it for being productive, or you can say, I don't believe it. You understand? But I think if you have your responsibility and your responsibility investing for people, you should take all the research there is. So that's only one cycle, but in between all kinds of other cycles. And the interesting thing is that I was teaching in, and this is new, I never talked about it. I was teaching, was a professor in Jerusalem, teaching in finance. And there came a delegation from Russia because Putin had seen on Fox Channel all my things about the war cycle. And he was very interested.
When was this?
Yes, it's on my website because in the end I came there and I was with him on Moscow One television live a year later. I think it was 2014 maybe.
Okay.
And that's how I established the contact and I went to Russia and I started going to Russia. And so a lot of people who work with it and believe in it, and I tell people, listen, even if you don't believe in it, if other people go according to it, you can better, you know whatever is to be known about all this stuff. So we also work with the governments in Taiwan and other governments, and they take it very seriously. It's just that in the West, we're totally rational. While in other countries like Russia and India and the Chinese, they have a little bit more mysticism around them, and they believe things that even if they can't rationally understand it, they still work with it.
I think one of the most famous cycles was developed in Russia was the Kondratiev cycle. So they have there's a certain affinity towards I guess you could say the mystical, the cycles, because it kind of once you get involved in cycles, it goes in a lot of different areas. It goes almost into the theological in a certain way. I interrupted your story. So you were a professor in Jerusalem.
For 2 years in finance. Actually, finance means is they actually call it the Nenner system, how to calculate financial markets, not based on stories and fundamentals, but purely on mathematics. But it's under the finance. You know, people who finish the MA, they could go into this finance for 2 years, and I try to teach them. Now, it's very interesting because there are a lot of religious people in Israel, and if I said, the Israeli market goes down, they even said at one point, what if we will pray that it goes up? So you get all kinds of interesting situations. But it's very hard for people to decide if something is true or not. I remember they tried to annoy me on CNBC. That was in 2015 or so. They says, well, you must be also wrong. I says, well, I challenge you to find a losing trade for the last 15 years. And they never came back to me. And they cut that piece out because they put it on the video. So it's easier said than done. It's just that people like it not to be true, because if it works like this, then how they approach the world is totally different than their mother taught them how the world functions. Because this means is things go their way, and whatever you do or whatever happens around it in politics and history and weather. For instance, weather. So we do for big, I won't mention the names of big meat companies. We tell them when to buy live cattle. In Miami, we have big oranges producers. We tell them when to sell the oranges. We do corn. We do sugar. Well, my computer doesn't know the weather, so it becomes even more crazy that if the computer says, by corn, then always the weather comes afterwards. Don't ask me how it works, because I still don't know how to explain it, but that's what we do.
Right. I'd like to get into some of the different cycle, your system and the different cycle methodologies a little bit later, but I want to cover a couple of first I want to kind of finish off where we are with US stocks. What is your short-term outlook, meaning over the next 6 months, what's your outlook for U.S. stocks?
Well, we're going to have a kind of a year-end rally, and a rally a little bit in January. But this is going to take a longer period, like for the next 5 years. And it's not a good idea to be in stocks. Actually, we are slowly getting ready to go back into the bond market, because our cycle low is the second week of November, so it's getting close, and everything, we check it again, everything is the same, then we go long in the bond market. For the rest, we expect the euro to be strong next year, and in certain periods, there's not too much ways to make a lot of money. I usually say, I'm Dutch, and we try not to lose money, and Americans always say, how do we make money? Like here, I'm watching with CNBC, I have a little time now, and they always talk, is this a buying opportunity? I have not seen one person says, maybe we should sell. It's more of an American attitude. And Europeans say, well, let's be careful. Let's try to save our money for a better day, and then we go long again.
What? Let's get into. You mentioned the euro. What's your outlook for the euro over the next 6 months?
Well, the euro should almost be finished with the correction, and then next year should be a good year for the euro. Also, next year there's some ups and downs, but the big up move in gold will start also like April, May next year.
Okay.
I mean, in a couple of weeks there's a low, but if you really want to be the safe side, you just wait till the middle of next year, which probably will go together with a low dollar.
Charles, let me ask you first. Let's kind of finish up with currencies. So the euro, do you expect to see the euro go above 120?
Yeah. Yes.
And what about the pound?
The pound, I expect to go and test the lows. And I'm not in front of a computer. I don't remember what the lows were. But what was it, 126 or so? I don't remember, 124. We're short the pound from 141, I think. And it's now 129, and we're still short.
And so your cycles are telling you that the pound could test the lows in the 120 range.
Yeah, lower 120 okay. range, yeah.
So are you, how do you think this Brexit thing is going to work out?
You see, now you say something, I can make a remark. The thing is, we don't know what people think about it. We don't know how much is already in the price. And then it doesn't matter, because the cycles will tell it all.
But the political, is there a political, I guess what I meant was, is there a political cycle which could give some, you know, some color on this?
Well, let me give you an example. Let's say you own IBM, and IBM was up during 2 years 50%, and IBM comes out with a great result tomorrow. Now, the result is great. Now, if IBM goes up, the Wall Street Journal will write, well, people pour into IBM because they're doing great. And if the cycle is down, they have a problem because IBM is doing great, but IBM goes down. So what does the Wall Street write, the journal writes? Well, people took profit because they don't think IBM will do better next year. So it's not always the fact, it's interpretation of the fact. So however Brexit will turn out to end has to do with the cycles. If the cycles are positive, it will end well. And if it's negative, we're going to be in a big mess.
So do you research on like the European political cycle?
No.
No. So you're kind of agnostic as to the EU, whether that's going to last, or that's going to continue in its current form?
I don't think, for years already, I think we're going to have a northern Euro, Finland maybe, Germany, Netherlands, Belgium, and a southern Euro, Spain, Italy, Greece. I think that's where the situation is going to be in a couple of years. It's not going to last, and they're going to cut it in two, because the countries that are weak, they cannot compete because they cannot lower their currency rate because they're stuck with a strong euro. So they really get in trouble. Greece was in trouble, Spain, now Italy. So it's not going to last. So they're going to have a northern euro and a southern euro.
Now, okay, so essentially, so for the U.S. stocks, you're calling for a relatively flat market here until January, or what is what's the outlook? There's a bounce in January.
There's a bounce. I think the bounce starts, if I remember well, the middle of December.
Okay.
I think this short-term low is finished by the 9th of November. Why the 9th of November? Because I remember the cycle on the VIX is up till the 9th of November, which means is once the VIX turns down, then most of the damage should be done. So another 10 days or so, not even 10 days because there are weekends in between. So, you know, maybe 6-7 trading days, we should have a short-term low. We go up and then we go down again and it takes time to hit the bottom. And then by the middle of December, we should try to rally. But the market is not, it simply doesn't look good. It's later the news will come out. Already now I hear rumors that, well, maybe the S&P will not be up 50% year over year anymore. And the other thing I want to mention is something very simple that people disregard. You got this story that usually markets go up like 8% a year, correct?
Right.
Now, that's done by taking the average market from 1900, drawing a line on a certain angle, and the angle is growing 8%. The only problem is that you're about 50% above that line. So if you continue to go 8% up, then soon you're going to be 100% above the line. So in order to get back to the average, you have to go 50% below the line, and then you're back to 8% average. So to hear people, pundits that are really clever, people say, well, we go up 8% a year. It's totally, I don't know, just, you know, you never hear discussion. I wish I was there. It says, explain it to me. Don't you see that it's above the 8% line, 50%? And if you want to go back to the average of 8%, you have to go 50% below. So that's one of the reasons why this cannot continue, this bull market.
And do you, so in you expect a bounce in January. Do you see a potential for a new high?
Maybe a few stocks, but I think
we've seen the highs basically.
Yeah, we saw the highs in January already.
Okay, let's talk about gold.
Well, gold, very short term, we're long until the 6th of November, and then we're going down again. Testing the lows, and then you have a short term low, and you go up again. And like I said, if you look at the research, you really can have a nice bounces and play it. But whoever doesn't look at the research should just wait till springtime next year to take a long position. Then gold should go over 2,500.
But right now you expect to see a testing, the lows tested. What number are you looking for?
That should be 1150 or so.
So that's not a major decline from here.
No, it's not a major decline. It's just it just makes people too tired to buy it every time, and then that's usually how it works. And then when they're not paying attention, then you really have to low. So you better sit on your hands and wait for a cycle low, and then just go long.
Okay, and you expect a rally to start in the spring and carry gold to 2,500, you said?
At least 2,500, yes.
By when?
Well, it can talk about 2 years, I think. I don't have everything in my head, but I thought okay. About 2 years or so.
Okay. Okay. And let's go into some other market cycles. You mentioned, we briefly touched on like a war cycle. What about, do you cover U.S. political cycles? I mean, like right now, it seems like the country is almost in a civil war, so to speak, a cold civil war. Does that have any, is that caused by, sunspot cycles or any other kind of cycles?
There is a 60-year social cycle that, 60 years from the 60s is right now. And that socialized, so there's always a lot of new things and uproar and whatever, revolutions. But it's not the U.S. It's look what happens in Italy. The right took over, and in Hungary, and even in Holland and everybody, they call it populism. I don't even know what the definition of populism is. One of the reasons this happened has an economic basis. The economic basis is that the people had a mid-income could always have a future and a good life because they could take loans and they could take mortgages and they could loans on their cars, etc., etc. But after 2007-08, it was hard to get loans. The wages didn't go up. And they had enough. They feel that they're left behind. So that leads to a total different political background all over the world. In Europe, we have the same situation. So in a lot of countries, even in Holland and the West, they don't have more income than they had in 2006, 7, 8. It's staying behind. Now, that happened to what you mentioned, the Kondratiev cycle, because you can do whatever you want, but if the Kondratiev cycle is down, wages are not going up, so you can come with all kinds of outside reasons. How is it possible? You know, we've got full full employment. Why are wages not going up? Well, because of the cycles. And once the cycles bottom, then they will start shooting up. But for the moment, the people then vote for different governments because they say, it is a total break with my history because I have no future because I cannot finance anything. And that is all over the world. It's not only United States. So that's the 60 years social unrest cycle.
Okay. Let's, you know, before we kind of get into, you know, some in-depth discussion of, you know, how your system works, I want to kind of finish off on a topic. You know, being Dutch, you can appreciate this, that, you know, the U.S. or actually maybe U.S. Canada is having a, is very interested in a kind of an agricultural product cycle, kind of like what you experienced with tulips a few centuries back. And, you know, I'm talking about, of course, you know, the cannabis stocks, the cannabis mania, so to speak. Do you have any input on that?
No, it's not something specifically because we really run out of time. So what we do is we do the interest rates in Europe and the United States. We do all the currencies. We do the different stock markets. We do gold, silver, real estate, and then we give specific stocks that we should buy. But we just have not enough people to do all that research. So it's not something I'm very familiar with.
Right. So I guess it wasn't so much the individual stocks or the index, but is that sort of an indication of a type of, you know, market mania?
Well, I would prefer to say the Bitcoin was a market mania because that topped together with the markets when it was 20,000. And if you look at the Bitcoin, because we also do a lot of Bitcoins forecasting, which, by the way, does go excellent because we're not bothered by news. There's almost no news on the Bitcoin. So now it's very interesting for people. So now they have to admit that news has nothing to do with it because there's no news on the Bitcoin. But the Bitcoin actually is gives you a feeling of what the average person feels in the market, if there's fear, if there's greed. So that is much more important than this thing with the marijuana stocks or whatever. I really wouldn't know because if there's stocks that are doing well, I need at least 50 years of data to build the cycles, and they're not long enough in business, so I can't build the program.
So you have a service that covers Bitcoin,
right?
Okay. Now, I'm assuming that you believe that Bitcoin is hit or last. The cryptocurrencies. It's not a fad. This is here to stay.
Well, you know, I'm a very simple person. I put the data in. The computer calculates the levels and the dates. So it tells you, I think, what is it, in 10 days or so, there's a cycle on the Bitcoin. Don't ask me why. And for the rest, I really don't know more than other people. I was just a mathematician that looks at the work and the neural networks, and it looks when the cycle low is there and what the level is and when the cycle top is there and how high the Bitcoin will go. If it continues to exist, I have no idea.
So what is your outlook for Bitcoin over the next, I don't know, 6 to 12 months?
There is a short-term cycle low at the end of the first week of November, and in January there's a more important cycle low. So I think we had it from 20,000, we had a target of 5,600, 5,550, so that has not been reached yet. We came only to 6,000, so we keep that in the back of our mind that longer term we can still go to 5,600. But when the cycle bottoms, we just and gives the buy signal, we're just going to buy until the cycle tops. But again, next year should be a better year for the Bitcoin.
Any target, price target?
Well, if we do an overlay of the Bitcoin from 20,000 down with the gold crashes of the 80s and the crash that came down from 1900, I don't think I was saying in 2014, it's an exact overlay. So this is psychologically how markets develop. And if you want to know how it continues, you continue to look at that overlay if you don't have cycles. And you see that it takes the same amount of time for people to cover their wounds and start going long in gold as it does to cover their wounds and losses and to go long in Bitcoin again. So most markets have the same shape.
You know, it's interesting because Bitcoin is it's almost like a purely it's purely psychological. I mean, it's in a way it's like gold, except gold has some, I guess, uses, but Bitcoin, so it's almost like a pure market.
Well, everything is a pure market. There's just millions, maybe billions of people who make a living of saying nothing. I mean, I worked for Goldman Sachs 15 or 17 years. I was managing director, and they used my system. And I remember if you go to Wall Street, you see all these people with attaché cases in gray suits that make a living. I don't have an idea that they really know what's going on in financial markets. So they have this whole story, and that I find sometimes annoying that they say, they ask him, what do you think is going to happen? He says, I don't know, but nobody can know. They always know that nobody can know that because they cannot say, I don't know. So nobody knows that. Nobody can predict the future. Nobody can say anything. And they make a fortune of not knowing anything. it's just an amazing world that keeps growing.
Right. You know, I mean, my kind of my view of Bitcoin, I guess I'm a Luddite, but I always kind of looked at it as, do you remember there was an old joke about the sardine futures? Do you know the joke?
No, I don't.
Okay, so there's a sardine futures market, and one guy ends up, he corners the whole market in sardines, and he decides to to take delivery on the contract. So he takes delivery, goes to the warehouse. And he opens up a can of sardines, and it's rotten. All the sardines, he opens one can after another, and they're all rotten. So he calls up the chairman of the exchange and says, "Hey, I got conned. All these sardines are rotten." So he says, "Hey, these sardines they're not for eating. It's for trading."
I know the story about. I should tell you the story about the Jewish guy in the middle of Amsterdam who sells ice cream, and it says not allowed for Jews. So his Jewish friend comes. What, he became an anti-Semite? He can't eat he can't even sell me your ice cream. He says, "Oh, did you taste my ice cream?"
So let's talk about let's get into some details of how what your methodology of cycles and how this cycles work. Do you follow? Is it based on numbers? Is it based on like some of these cycles? Like we talk about the sunspot cycle. There's lunar cycles. There's these 7-10 year cycles.
The cycles are only to explain. What happened was that once a friend who studied astronomy says, "Oh, your cycle of that Dow Jones just looks like the intensity of the sunspot cycle." So I started looking into it, and indeed. So then I talked to some people who really knew about it, and they explained the following things. When Greenspan says there is exuberance, what it means is that the sunspot intensity is so high that it creates a certain magnetic field down here, and the magnetic field influences the crystallization of water. And since our brain is 80% of water, so our brain goes in a certain direction based on the electromagnetic field caused by the intensity of the sunspots. So then if you go to NASA and you look at the website about predicting sunspots, it's very helpful only if you would only do this to predict the stock market going up and down, because if the sunspots are high, there's exuberance, markets go up. And when they're low, and in 2007-08, they were the lowest in 500 years, then, the markets crash. It's the other way around. I try to explain why maybe it works for outsiders. We don't work with it, but they get the feeling that there's some basis to it.
So give us kind of an overview of your system, or I guess you call it the Nenner system as you taught it at the university.
Yeah. I taught them that like what you learn in physics in school is if you shoot an arrow or a gun, it goes up for a certain amount of time, and you can calculate how far it goes and how long it stays in the air. The same thing with stocks. The stocks go up with a certain momentum. Now, you just don't sit on your hands and you wait for something to be published in the paper in a year time. You can exactly when it's gonna be out of the air and when it's gonna turn down. And the interesting thing is that happens when a cycle is down. And when a cycle is down, then I gave you the example of IBM, the newspapers will write something bad, like the situation we have now, that they write why the market is bad. What changed? Everybody knew that the Fed is gonna have some higher Fed funds. Everybody knew that. So now the market goes down because the Fed goes up another quarter point. That's totally ridiculous. But the cycles was down, so now everybody's worried about it. When the cycle were up, this is we don't worry about it. But the news is exactly the same. And that is very hard for people to comprehend, that nothing has changed. Just the cycle and interpretation of the news has changed, and that's why the market is selling off.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Well, Charles, let's kind of wrap up with some of the services that you offer. And I guess people can go to your website, charlesnenner.com, to learn more. But why don't you kind of give us an overview of the different products that you have available, the research products?
Well, Sunday is important. You get about 30 charge printouts of the computer where I show, for instance, we have, let's say we have a big hedge fund, and he says, I want to buy IBM, but I want to know where to buy it and when to buy it. Because they might be right, but for 3-4 months they sit on it, nothing happens. So we build for them IBM. I mean, this we have ready by the stock that they paid for. And then they know when to buy it, and they decide why they want to buy it. But on Sunday, I show the printouts, what the cycle looks like below the stock that they're advising, or can be corn, can be crude oil, can be natural gas. We do a lot of natural gas for Canada. And then on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we confirm if everything is on track, and we do short term. Like yesterday, I sent out an intraday, cover your shorts at the end of the day. And then we have a service for India and Canada and Australia. I think that's most of it. That one I don't do. I have other people doing that. I mostly do U.S. and the futures. We have a European service. And whoever writes in gets it a couple of months for free, because we don't really have to sell it. We just want to show people it's interesting how the world works. We have this ideal that if people know how the world works, maybe we can make it better. And then if they like it after a couple of months, you know, contact them. If you're interested, you know, take a subscription. If you're not interested, that's fine by us. So it's very low-key, and you can just look for yourself if it helps you or not.
Okay, well, great. Well, Charles, on that note, we'll wrap up. And, you know, I look forward to speaking with you sometime in January.
We'll do that.
See how these cycles are doing.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome.